Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
So today I have a little message that I called, You Are Done, But God Has Just Begun. What do you say about that? You are done, but God has just begun. So how many of you have felt like, I'm done? Have you ever felt like, in America, I'm done. I've had it. I'm done. I came into a rehab center 20 years old feeling like that. Has anyone else been in that case? In that scenario? You know, just feeling, I'm done. And I came in there and I thought everyone was weird, saying hallelujah. Jesus, amen. I never understood them. And then they started prophesying over me. And they said, and I was going to preach in English and I would go to the nations. And I didn't speak a word of English. But I was stupid enough to believe them, you see. Here am I standing. So I believed them. I believed when they prophesied something over me. And you know, words are powerful. How many of you know that? Words are very powerful, and I grew up super simple. I come from a working class background, ghetto rat background. How many of you can feel? You already sniffed that when I came up. This shirt couldn't fool you, you know? So that's how I grew up. I mean, we were drinking beers, playing cards, picking a fight, chasing girls, and we mixed that order up a little bit, but that's how I grew up. So then I came into this place and they started prophesying over me, speaking things over me. And I had a Kenyan mentor, a guy, a Kikuyu, if you know something about Kenya, a Kikuyu from Nairobi. He was my mentor at Teen Challenge, this rehab center. And he every time I picked a fight, because I fought a lot, he would take me to the side and he would say, your name is Johannes. Let me tell you about Johannes. He was the apostle of love. And I thought, who are you talking about? And you will be the apostle of love, you know? And he prophesied that over me, and he changed my name. Isn't that beautiful? My identity was changed. And I think it's good sometimes to come to the point where you are done. How many of you know what I'm saying? I dated Maria, the girl who has been my wife for 28 years. Come on, somebody. 28 years. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. And I remember when we had dated for 2 years, she said, I'm done. I've had it with you. And I said, good, I'm done with you, girl. And that's when we, believe it or not, that's when we actually started a real relationship. How many of you know that when you stop faking, stop trying to put up a face, just be real with one another, that's when you can build something. And there's this death process almost in the Christian faith that as long as we are trying to get stuff, we won't get it. We have to die to it and die with it in order for us to get it. And it's wonderful to come to a point when you are just done. Because when you are done, God is saying, finally I can do something here. Finally, now you're becoming material. So we're going to read from Genesis chapter 32. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 32. And for you that aren't Bible readers, I didn't grow up reading the Bible, but this is Jacob, one of the patriarchs, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob, he was a cheater. That was his name. Jacob means someone that holds the heel, someone that deceives and cheats. So he had been cheating his daddy, his brother. He's been cheating his father-in-law. He had been betrayed too. And now he is 60 years old, something like that, having a big family, trying to return to his home country. And his brother wants to kill him and revenge him. And he's coming to this place here where he is done. You all with me? And it says from verse 22 in Genesis chapter 32, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. This is a little mystical. Who is this man? When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go, not unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "So what is your name?" And here came the turning point. "I'm Jacob." In other words, I'm the deceiver. I've been cheating my whole life, right? And then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Israel means victor, right? So he says, "I'm changing your name now." Jacob says, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, or hip bone, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him, and he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. How many of you have come into church limping today? Huh? Is there someone that's come in limping? I came in here just limping into worship, feeling I got nothing to prove. I've been done so many times, and he has picked me up and given me a new identity and a new name. So when Jacob limps towards that sunrise, he is a new man finally. He has struggled enough, and he has given up, and he has died to his old identity and received a brand new one. Isn't that amazing? We're also going to read in the New Testament, so open up your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1. You know, I said in the first service, the first gospel of John, and people were looking, you got to understand, it's a first generation believer up here, but there is just one, all right, there is just one John's gospel. So John's gospel, chapter 1 from verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, this is John the Baptist, and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Kephas," which translated is Peter. How many of you know Simon was a JoJo, an emotional guy, a roller coaster guy? I can relate. A hothead. And then when he came to Jesus, Jesus changed his name and called him a rock, the opposite. So he prophesied something brand new over him. I can relate to Peter. I mean, he was in discipleship training for 3.5 years. How many of you remember with Jesus? And then just before Jesus is being crucified, he chops off a man's ear. So much for that discipleship training. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can relate to that, you know. So you just feel like, man, I blew it right there. Jesus has been speaking about love for 3.5 years, you know, washing feet. And I couldn't help it. I mean, that ear was sticking out too much. And, you know, so it was just hopeless, you know. Can you relate to this, guys? So you feel like, I've tried everything. Tried everything, man. Yeah. There was this young guy that came to me not so long ago, actually here in America, and said, "I'm praying, I'm fasting." He was 16. "I'm praying, I'm fasting, but all I can think about is, you know, girls and stuff." I said, "It's called testosterone, man. Fasting will not take it away." I said, "Son, let me speak some clearance to you here. You know, you will be fighting that as long as you live." So, how many of you like that I'm down to earth with you today, that we're not playing any games? Can we just preach away here? So, what God wants to do in your life, I wrote down this morning, is so great that he first has to kill ambition and turn it into submission. Do you get that? So, what God wants to do in your life, so sometimes your ambition is just in the way. You're trying and you want so much and you want to be somebody. Create fame and a name and And all of that is just, he just waits until you give up. You know, he just turns the knife, you know, puts it in again. Are you dead soon? So that we can start to work with you, right? So, you are done, but God has just begun. And I've seen this in my life again and again. You know, I wanted to be a, you know, I was this Reinhard Bonnke wannabe. Some of you know who Reinhard Bonnke is, a German evangelist. And I had to work in his team. He was all over Africa, and I really wanted to be an evangelist. And man, did I struggle. I said the wrong thing all the time. He sent me to big churches in America. I said the S word from the pulpit 3 times. I mean, I was supposed to raise money. There was no money coming in. How many of you know what I'm saying? I was just the wrong, you know, find one fault. You know, find something that's wrong. So I tried and I tried. And then I finally had my own loudspeaker system and my own stage and my own truck. And we were going through Africa preaching the gospel. And then we had a truck accident and everything went up in flames. I've gathered stage and light and sound and equipment up to the value of $1 million. And it all went up in flames. And I was thinking, I'm done. I'm so done. And then through a miracle, without we not even gathering money, $3.6 million came in for replacement from all over the world. And we upgraded 3 times. And I thought, maybe I am not done, you know. When you are done, God has just begun. When you die to stuff, He's about to do something. And God has opened up great doors, as you saw here, right? God has given us enormous doors. And we see the deaf hearing and the blind seeing and transformations. But you know, this is what God is using. Everyone, come on. Oh my goodness, couldn't God find something better in Southern Europe? Well, this is his pick. It's up to you, right? And what can you learn from Johannes? You can learn from Johannes that if God can use a Johannes, there's good odds for you. There's good odds for each and every one of us in this room. We need to come to the place where we're done. And when we come to that, and you know, the Bible is full of these stories. How many of you remember Abraham was not Abraham, he was Abram. And then he has this vision that he was going to be the father of many nations. So he calls himself Abraham, which means father of many nations. But the problem is he doesn't have one child. How many of you know that's kind of a lie? I mean, you could call it faith, but you could also say liar. Isn't it? But he forced everyone to lie about him. If we talk about it the non-Christian way, you know, he faked it. He said, "I'm a father of many nations." He didn't have one child, and he forced everyone in his environment to prophesy over him what God had told that he was going to be. And you know, it's just such an amazing story. I mean, when he is done, you know, he finds no Viagra, you know, in the land. His wife has passed menopause. It's over. Good night and goodbye. How many of you know? Then he shows up in the tent one evening. Come on, somebody. You talk like this outside of church all the time. And now I happen to do it on a Sunday morning. And you look like, this is Louisiana. Yeah, it is Louisiana. You talk all that outside the church, and then you come in here and acting on. Stop it, okay? So this is the reality of things. But one night he shows up in the tent like a schoolboy. Woo! Right? And has a child. No wonder they called him Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. He was a big joke. I mean, 100 years old, the man. The woman was 90. You see it? It was awesome. And that's the Bible. The Bible is full of people that are calling themselves things that God has said about them, and they turn into these things. How many of you know that's how God is? He speaks the things that are not, as if they were already there. And he creates and he raises the dead and he makes brand new things come on somebody. And there's such a power in our tongue. And when we release what God has spoken over us and we believe in it and walk it out, we're moving towards it and we become it, right? Sarai called herself Sarah. Sarah means princess. You think she felt like a princess? No, but she became one. Because she took on a new identity. A Simon becomes a Peter. A Jacob becomes an Israel. And I could continue. The Bible is full of weird, broken people that God changes and transforms. Even a prostitute, even a brothel mama is in the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab is right there. She was a prostitute, but she acted in faith and God changed her destiny. How many of you believe God can change your destiny? God can change your future. God can do something. And I'm standing here as a living testimony of that. You know, I tried so hard, Philip, to be a Pentecostal preacher for about 3 years. Then I gave up. And what a freedom I ended up in. Guys, life has been awesome ever since. Because I'm not trying. And you know, even my handicaps has become my advantage. When I grew up, I just got to tell you, my first 18, 20 years of my life, I was so ashamed of them when I became a believer. I didn't want to speak about them. I had 22 addresses before I turned 18. Mama was an alcoholic, living with drug addicts, drug dealers. Daddy was a gangster. Can you relate? Everything was wrong. Everything was just, and my upbringing was so dysfunctional. And then I thought, how in the world am I going to fit in the church world? Well, God had greater plans than churches, right? He had crowds of hundreds of thousands of people that have never set foot in church, right? He had heads of states and political scenes and all kinds of stuff that he wanted to bring me into. And you see, my background, my handicaps in life became my greatest advantage, my blessing. Because Nehemiah says that he turns curses into blessings. How many of you know that's our God? He can turn your curses into a blessing. And I was invited the first time to meet with some politicians and some high-end bishops in Africa. This is many years ago. How many of you want to hear this story? My wife, who is a middle-class girl, who has taught me every culture I know, not to pick my nose in public, still do. Not to fart in cars with a lot of people, still do. You know, she's tried to teach me how to use fork and knife and how to behave and all of that stuff, you know. So I'm getting ready. I buy a suit. Oh, I gotta tell you. Felt like a clown in front of the mirror. And I'm walking into this beautiful dinner. And, you know, I had to call my wife to know how to use all the tools that are on the table. You know what I'm talking about? So here we are, and I'm trying to behave. Now, high-end politicians, high-end bishops are trying to behave. And I behave very nicely for 2.5 hours. How many of you understand that's a long time? So after 2.5 hours, when they bring dessert, I kind of relax a little bit, you know, open up first bottom, pull down the tie. And before I know it, I tell the story about how I got a goat drunk in Austria. I don't know, it just came out of me. Super dysfunctional story, how we had a goat drunk when I was 11 years old outside of a pub. You know, just putting beer bottles down the throat of that, you know, goat. And that goat was running all over the yard. Yeah, guys, you are allowed to laugh. This is stupid. Stupid. I tell that story, and I'm thinking, what is coming out of my mouth right now? And then, you know, when you've told one story and you kind of know, you know, one bishop tries to save the situation and says, oh, isn't it fantastic how how God even uses the simplest people. And I'm just going for it. So I tell the story when we got the birds drunk, you know, and I tell the story about this. I'm just going for it, having a good time. And the politicians giggle and laugh a little bit with me, but, you know, everyone is wondering, who is this? And then I come to the hotel room. You know, now I'm out in freedom again. How many of you know? I feel like I'm 16 years old in the back seat of a police car. Yeah, is that freedom? Yeah, it felt like freedom. I said, they will never invite me to any of their churches. I will never be speaking to any cabinets or any governments. Felt awesome. I'm laying on the bed and my wife calls and says, so how was the dinner? How did it go? And I said, I told the goat story. She said, you did what? You did not tell me you didn't. Yeah, and I told this. Now, I mean, I behaved 2.5 hours. Then I couldn't. I mean, it was so boring. And then all of a sudden, my phone rings. And he hears one of the politicians that says, hey, man, we've been talking about that goat story for hours. We love you, man. We've never met a pastor like you. I mean, who tells stories like that? You need to come and speak to the cabinet. The president wants to meet you. You're the real deal. You're down to earth. Come on, somebody. Do you get what I'm saying here? All that fine stuff you've learned that you think you need to have may not be your advantage. But all the scars you have, all the junk you went through, all that you were allowed to go through, God will use for His kingdom. That will be your greatest arsenal and your weapons. Come on, somebody. This is where you should say, hallelujah. That's the right place for a hallelujah. Some of you were throwing them in when I talked about raccoons, but this is where you... Are you having a good time? So what am I talking about? God can even use your handicaps. He can use everything about you. I love that He changes names. I love that He gives new identities. I love that we come to Jesus and, you know, hey, we have those stories in Europe. One of these stories my father told me when I was a little kid, it was when God created the world. Let me just tell you. I believe this story was in the Bible. Sounded so beautiful and religious, I thought it must be in the good book. Then I became a believer and I haven't found it until this day. You know what I'm saying? My daddy made the story up. But he said when God created the world, He made everyone in His creation thank God and say thank you for being created their own unique way. Horses were making their sounds. Cows their sounds. Dogs their sounds. Roosters their sounds. And then the people were singing. But there was one part of creation. They couldn't say thank you. It was the trees. It was so unfair. How many of you get it? I was 6 years old when I hear the story. I started crying for the trees like a Greenpeace activist. What the? This is, you know, so unfair to the trees. They couldn't make a sound. My daddy said, not everything is... It's fair in life, son. Wow. Then my daddy asked me, what is a drumstick? What is a drumstick made of? A flute made of? A guitar made of? A violin made of? I said, wood, daddy. Where does it come from? The trees, dad. Can you see the revelation of a six-year-old? Wow. And God said, wow. God, daddy said, God fixed it for the trees. He made a whole orchestra. Right? They were playing a hymn to God saying thank you. And I want to say this to each and every one of you. God is not choosing you, picking you for what you are now, but because of what He's going to make of you. Are you getting this? Well, what He's going to make of you. It's hope in that. And you might feel like a dead tree. But when He takes you in His nail-marked hands, are you here? In His, you know, can you see the wounds of Jesus? When He takes you in His hands, He will carve out an instrument and He will make music. I'm telling you, I'm like that violin story we have in Europe. I have to tell that violin story quick. You know, it's this guy who became a celebrity, played in every concert hall, everywhere, recorded a lot of records, played for kings and presidents. But at the end of his career, when he was about to buy a new violin, he passed an ash heap in the backyard of the violin shop next to the outhouse. And there was this broken piece of junk. Just a broken violin with cracks and holes and one string. And he couldn't pass it. He picked it up, tuned the one string, and he decided this is the instrument he wanted to end his career with. So he played for his last 3 years only on that broken violin. One string. He never put another three strings on it. One string. Cracks and holes. And his daughter asked him on his deathbed, "Daddy, why did you end your amazing career like that?" He said, "It was my tribute to Jesus." This is a South European story. We know it in South Europe. You know, he passed my ash heap and he picked me. This was an illiterate gypsy boy. Are you here? That God had turned into an amazing violinist in Europe. And he said, "I had to give some tribute because Jesus passed my ash heap and he tuned my one string. And when he puts me between his cheek and, you know, chest and he tunes that string and he plays, eyes, you know, every crack makes sense. Every crack, every hole makes that special sound. Do you know that there's no one that has the sound you have? There's no one that has gone through what you've gone through. There is a sound. There is just something about you that the master can use, put in his hands and tune and play with." And the story goes about the violin that, you know, every time the master played, he said, "Don't play." And then when he didn't play for 2 weeks, he cried, "Please play one more time." I feel like that all the time. I'm that broken violin. And you know, when Jesus plays to a crowd somewhere in Africa, I'm so happy. And sometimes I feel he plays too much. And then I'm crying. I'm still that, you know, Jojo. And he says, "No, no, no. You're a rock. You're my instrument. I will use you again." Are you here? And I have that love-hatred almost to the ministry. I'm done. And Jesus says, "Just because you're done, I have begun. Now I can really do something in your life. Because this is not about you anymore. This is about Jesus now. And this is about making music to the crowds." Are you hearing me? Oh, I want to preach. I don't know if you get it. But I want to get this message to all of you today. I don't know how you came in here. You were expecting 10 Greek words maybe, you know. And no. No, not today. Okay? I want to tell you that if you are done, it's a good thing. Jesus has begun now. And there's a death process. And if you give up, he can give you a brand new identity, a brand new name.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.